welcome to Travel Fun. My name is Mary Beth Clementi, and I'm the host of this talk show on travel. And travel means love getaways. And this is the season for focusing perhaps a little bit more on love. And in honor of Valentine's Day, I'm going to do that this week. And with a program that I have Cindy Sansone Braff on the phone from New York, from Long Island to be specific. And Cindy is known as the Romance Whisperer. She is a relationship coach, a psychic medium, and a tarot therapist, and also the author of the best-selling book, Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. And of course, we'll be putting a little bit of a travel spin on this as well. I would like to welcome Cindy Sansone Braff to Travel Fun. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, I'm so glad you invited me. What a fun program.
Well, you know, I always do something special around Valentine's Day, whether it's chocolate or something perhaps a little bit more risque. And I thought your book, Grant Me a Higher Love, just the title alone cries out for something that so many people want. And I wanted to talk with you. I wanted to hear what you had to say about love and travel, and also about spiritual connections, because you seem to be very focused on that.
Yeah, I very much so. And for me, you know, travel is a fun thing to be doing to sort of break away from my life, because I do work from my home mainly. So I'm here. My home is my workspace. So, you know, when you work in the space and you clean and you cook and you do everything, for travel, for my husband and I, is for me to get away from my workspace entirely. So that's something that I didn't realize how important it was, because I just find that if I'm in this home all the time, I just can't get into a different space. And to travel for us together has been one of the most interesting things in our relationship, because it does get us into a different place, and romance can sort of grow again outside of your mundane everyday life. So I think we really need to get away from our world. We're all too connected now with phones and computers, and, you know, the day goes 24/7. I'm sure you know that. And, you know, when we do go away, I find I get into a different mindset. And, you know, my life has been analyzing love, and, you know, I can't be a person who tells you can have a great relationship if I don't have one of my own. So, you know, my husband has brought me into the world of travel. Prior to him, I didn't travel for 40 years, mind you. So, I mean, he laughs. Getting me off of Long Island is like a big deal.
And so, since you are mentioning your husband, I'm going to jump right in there and say, and talk about some sort of a spiritual connection or serendipity, whatever it might be. Your husband shares the same last name as mine, Clementi. And we have had a delightful relationship over Facebook. I hope it's okay with you.
Oh, yes. I just said, she sounds like a doll, and we just like having friends in important places like you. And we just find that, you know, I have a friend now, a client, that her last name was Sansone, and she's mine, and we've connected on that plane, too, from Facebook. So I think it's just great.
And voila, here, that brings us together. And because, of course, your husband was sharing, telling me about your book and from the get-go, and how wonderful you are and everything. So I had in the back of my mind from the beginning, I have to have her on Travel Fun. So thank you for doing this. Now, about travel, and I think what I've found with travel is that you don't have to go to someplace far away or for a long trip, or something really extraordinary, someplace extraordinary, just to the idea of togetherness and taking you out of your element and sharing something away from the setting that you normally find yourself in, that really brings a new dimension to a relationship. That's been my experience.
No, it's absolutely true. And it's funny because it's very hard for me to, I'm an older soul. I think you are too. Older souls by nature are very workaholic, very work-oriented. And, you know, if I'm in this house, it's just that's what happens. And then as soon as we, you know, we'll go out to Gurney's in Montauk, which is, you know, an hour and a half ride from here by the ocean or something. We'll stay, you know, night there. All of a sudden, you know, I breathe a little differently. I start to feel like, let me just disconnect. And I start to feel that sense of being much younger and a little bit more carefree. And I think we all need to feel that way and just get away from that computer and get away from the stresses of life. And we get to know each other in a different way. I mean, you know, TJ had always been out in the Hamptons on his sailboat, but he had never been in the ocean, really. I was the swimmer, so we went out there and I'm like, get in that ocean. So I taught him to get in the ocean. He taught me to get on the sailboat. So it's learning something different, trying something different. But I think mainly it's more important now than any other time because we really are too connected to our work 24/7. I don't think any other people took work home as much as we do or answers emails all day long. And I could see last night we were communing. It was like 12:30 here in New York, and it was like 11:30 at you. We're working late.
We're working late. And I will add that your husband is a writer, so aside from his last name, that's another way in which we connected. Let's talk about your book, Grant Me a Higher Love. Tell us about that, the essence of it. I'm sure it's hard to do in just a few words.
No, the essence is basically that not all love is created equal, although we think it is. You know, the first time you meet somebody, the first month or 2 months or 3 months, everybody seems, you know, wonderful. This is love. You know, at the three-month mark, the prince that becomes the beast or the princess that becomes the beast, it's not quite what we thought it was, begins to reveal itself, whether this is something more than just, you know, something that's temporary or something more lasting. So what was channeled to me, and I am a psychic medium, so a lot of the work that came through me is from my clients and from the universe kind of giving me insights, that I classified love like a ladder. And if you could picture at the top soulmate love, that's that heart, soul, mind, body connection that we feel with a person. And it also demands commitment to that love and commitment to healing. Now, that's a big issue in modern, you know, society. People can't seem to commit. So it does demand that we commit. Now, a lot of people are given soulmate love. I'd say probably 45% of love is soulmate. But only 1% seem to maintain it, because love can go drag down the ladder very quickly from soulmate to either toxic, where, you know, two people have their anger issues emerging, or maybe one person shuts up and it kind of goes to mediocre. So love can go from good to bad to taking each other for granted mediocre pretty quickly, even from soulmate. But some love is just not soulmate. It's a man to fit a plan or a woman to fit a plan. My eggs are getting old. I need a baby. I have to get married. So they kind of go shopping on Match.com, and it's kind of mediocre to begin with. And I can never fix that as a relationship coach. You know, love can go down, but it can't really go up. If it was mediocre to begin with, I'm not going to make that soulmate. At the bottom end is really toxic love. And then there's sort of like a narcissistic rung that I think is pretty 21st century. It's any woman or man's interchangeable with another. It's about money and power and lasts 3 to 6 months and it just burns itself out. So I try to get people to understand, you know, not all love is created equal. It does all demand work or it's going to go bad. And I think, you know, a test of love could be going on a trip for somebody. You know, if you've gone, you know, you're with them for a couple of months, you spend like a week alone, it's really a test of whether, you know, you guys are compatible or not compatible, you know, how much a person's disposition is revealed. Some people are such creatures of habit, you can't take them out of every day. You know, are they flexible? Can they roll with the punches? You know, you're in a different language system, and, you know, are you laughing at the mistakes you guys are making, or is everything a big deal? So, you know, that's one of the things that's important to kind of test a relationship, and I think travel can be a little bit of a test. And, you know, I don't know if you've experienced, but you would think soulmate love. Have you had someone that you think is a soulmate or more than one soulmate? Because we do have more than one.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Have you seen the whole world is listening. Have you seen it not maintained? You know, I mean, it's like, it's one thing to be given a soulmate. When I, you know, I have a client that go, well, I, you know, it's my soulmate, it's my forever soulmate. I go, look, I can see you have a heart, soul, mind, body connection, and you could feel that. But whether you're going to maintain it or he or she's going to maintain it, that's another issue. We have to heal a lot of issues to maintain, you know, maintain soulmate love. We have to stop reliving our parents' ridiculously bad marriages. We have to get rid of our addictions. We have to say what we mean what we say without being mean about it. We have to commit to it. We have to stick 2 feet in there and see if it'll work. And boy, all those criteria, you know, can really, you know, pretty soon it can go to something else. And it's really harsh when it goes from soulmate to toxic, or worse, when a commitment phobic runs in the beginning of a soulmate relationship and you're left devastated. So, you know, my mission is people are running from a higher love in record numbers. It's really scary. They do stay in toxic love affairs way too long and mediocre love way too long. But, you know, seeing true soulmate relationships is probably 1% of the world population that are actually maintaining it on a day-to-day basis. And it's a little bit frightening because I'd like to see those odds better. I like to help people, give them tools to fix it. But again, you know, best if we fix ourselves, because then when two healed people meet, love is really pretty simple and easy. And that's how it was for my husband and I, TJ and I, when we met 5 years before. We had both been married. We had both seen love go good to bad. We had both spent a few years trying to heal our own issues. And when we came together, it was really very simple. Love is simple. It's a diamond. It's precious. Why didn't we want to make it work? And so we've traveled a lot in our 5 years, mind you, together. We've been to Europe twice. We've been, you know, different places in the United States. We've done a lot of trips, and it's been wonderful to spend time in a small room with him. We're very compatible traveling. We're both pretty easygoing, as it would be. It's just getting me on that trip. It's getting me to pack and leave. That seems to be. But once I'm there, I'm loving it. But it was a test of our compatibility when we traveled, and we did it right from the beginning because he likes to travel much more than I do. I mean, he's much more of a travel guy. He'd go on a trip every day. He's just going on a train.
He's got that wanderlust. I am visiting with Cindy Sansone Braff, known as the Romance Whisperer. Cindy's website is grantmeahigherlove.com. grantmeahigherlove.com, the same name as her best-selling book. And I'll be blogging about Cindy and posting this as a podcast at my blog, bonjourcolorado.com. Cindy, you just served up a whole bunch of meat and potatoes there. And I was listening and trying to scratch down some thoughts, but then you went to the next. Okay, first question is, why is it that in your idea that, you know, so many relationships start out really rosy the first few months, and I'd say typically maybe 6 months or so, and then they become so challenging?
Well, it's because around the 3 to 6 month mark, unhealed issues begin to surface. The first 3 to 6 months, the love is so strong, or the delight of meeting someone new is there, and so we're on our best behaviors. And love brings out the best in us in the beginning. After a while, when the unhealed issues begin to surface, either a person just runs from it. All of a sudden, you have this wonderful couple of months with this person, and all of a sudden, they kind of disappear, or they make up some lame excuse. They pull a geographic and move, or they just say, this is not what I wanted. This is not what I signed on for. And they run. Or people start to, you know, be in their behaviors that they've learned that love means I can be abusive. I mean, that started with the history of arranged marriages. People didn't really love each other. They were chosen as sort of a business arrangement, and so that you could be nasty to people you live with and love kind of became part of the norm. So some of the ways our parents interacted start coming back to haunt us, or the baggage from another relationship. But, you know, soulmate love, particularly if it's a high love, brings up some real big primal fears. And some of the big primal fears that emerge is what if I love you and you die on me? That's a massive human fear. And so people start saying, I don't know if I'm really ready for this. I don't know if I want this. And so they start watering the love down, make it a little mediocre this way. If you drop dead, I can shop for another one of you on Match.com. I mean, people do a lot of sabotaging of relationships to stop doing the healing that true love demands. And, you know, it's just dysfunction. And, you know, when we're younger, young people do usually know how to love. When they're 15, their first love affairs are probably the best because they just knew how to love. Dysfunction kicks in more as we get older. So I'm just trying to get people to understand what they're doing to sabotage love, what they can do to call someone on their behaviors. I mean, the main thing I think that's sabotaging love now is commitment phobia. And so, you know, I tell people there's a new master-slave archetype, 21st century, where people are scared of calling all the shots. You can come close now. I don't really want you, so don't call me. I'll call you. We have to say, this is not what I signed on for. I signed on for 2 feet in this relationship, all or nothing. I don't want drama. I don't want disease. So if you don't want to just stick 2 feet in with me, then take 2 feet out. And if more people would do that, what's becoming epidemic in this world is people running from a higher love might end if all of us would kind of stop tolerating people's fears, calling all the shots. And that's what I see with most of my clients. It's one person calling the shots. And the other person just trying to see if I love him good enough or love her good enough. You know, let me put up with this for 5 years. Maybe, you know, he'll come and, you know, commit to me. It has to start out right from the beginning, or it's very hard to fix it later on. So sort of from the beginning, if you're really looking for a committed relationship, say it. If the person wants what you're selling, they'll buy it. If they don't, they'll run. But they're going to run today, or they're going to run a year from now, 5 years from now. I'd rather you run today than 5 years from now. I mean, have you seen the pattern when I'm talking about that running, that lack of commitment?
Well, indeed I have.
And it's frightening.
I've got to pick up your book and devour it, it sounds, at this point. Let's talk about, you mentioned that relationships require work. And in order to preserve that higher love or achieve really the higher love, you have to work on it. Is that correct? Is that what I heard?
Right. Okay. I mean, if we're granted a higher love from the beginning, you know, that, you know, we can work on that and to maintain it. It's just the maintaining love is the hard part for some people, not getting it. People seem to get love. They just don't seem to be able to maintain it.
Right.
That seems the harder part of it.
Okay, so it seems to me, and this might sound unfair to some people, but it seems to me that women are typically much more willing to work out a relationship than men are. Would you agree with that?
For the most part, that's true. I mean, I happen to have some extraordinary clients that are men that really are trying to get a higher love, but it's mainly the women, true, that really do want to work harder at it. And, you know, maybe we're more intuitive and more love-oriented to begin with. But I think, you know, there's plenty of men that are complaining about the same issues that women are complaining about, too. I just think, really, what you said was accurate, though.
Okay. I guess my next question that I know I shouldn't be asking is, you know, how to get them to work on it.
Well,
you can't get anybody to do anything, right?
No, you can't force it. What I tell people is, you know, people have their own closet commitment phobia, which means they chase after someone who tells them, I don't want what you're selling. And I'll tell people, you've got to examine why you would keep trying to sell somebody on a relationship who doesn't want it. Why are you trying to fix that person or change that person? It must be because then you could turn around and say, well, it's not my fault. He won't commit or she won't commit. So it's really dealing with our own issues. You know, we have to fix ourselves. You know, we're lucky if we get through this life fixing half of what's wrong with dysfunction in human beings. You know, I'm not trying to change other people or fix them. I change me, and how they respond to me will be different. So, I mean, even with TJ, when I met him, he had like 2 other girlfriends when I met him. And, you know, it really was pretty funny. And he came from Montauk to Patchogue, which is about an hour and a half ride. And I said to him from the first moment, I don't, you know, sleep with people or sleeping with other people. I don't do that. If you want to be with me, you have to be with only me. 2 feet in or 2 feet out, that's the deal. He looked a little shocked. And they said, I'm in. You're a good catch. I'm in. And that's how we started our relationship. And it's been that way from day one.
Well, now, that seems fair enough.
Right. And I didn't give him wiggle room. I mean, I'm not going to say you have to leave those women. I'm saying you have to do anything. I'm not going to judge you when I have 15 girlfriends. It's your choice. But I don't do that. And if more people, if that's what they want, a committed relationship, then they're going to have to be firm on that. And it doesn't mean if somebody says, well, that's not what I want, and then they walk away from you, it doesn't mean it's over. Maybe 3 months without you, they're going to miss you, and they're going to come back and say, hey, you know what? I want you. So love can be fixed 2 feet completely into it or 2 feet completely out, not 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I'm not sure if I want this. I don't know what he wants. It's the 1 foot in, 1 foot out that makes healing not possible. You make a decision, 2 feet in or 2 feet out, and let's see what happens. And it's really simple. It's not complex, but you have to be firm on it. And most people, you know, they start getting all nervous, and they call the person, and they text them. I say, no, you have to really be firm that they're going to lose you. So it just takes some strength. But I just think it's epidemic now. I mean, it's across the board. It started with younger generations, but it's going up to the 60s and over. I still can't commit. I'm like, really? You're 60 years old. Like, really? Come on. So it's one of those things that it started out, however it started, it's just getting to be a real problem. And, you know, look at the songs that are really popular right now. Bruno Mars, you know, When I Was Your Man, I Should Have Sent You Flowers, I Should Have Given You My Hours, or this song, I Let You Go, and I Let Her Go. I mean, these are men realizing they should have committed to those women. And they're big hit songs because, you know, the women are listening and say, see, you should have done it, and the men are regretting. So it's, very simple. It's not complex. Love is a simple thing. We're just making it complicated. And that's why my book is a little bit scientific in its own way, a little bit, you know, it's spiritual. The men tend to like it as much or more than women, by the way, because it's not gender-oriented at all. So, you know, the men that read it fascinate me because they really do a study of it and they're intrigued by it. So I try to make love not mysterious. There's no mystery about it. Dysfunction is mystery. You know, and that's why I try to get rid of that dysfunction that seems to be ruining love.
Well, everything you're saying makes a lot of sense. I have so many questions to ask. I'm trying to prioritize them in my head. Let's talk about the spiritual connection, because you are a psychic. You are a tarot card reader. I guess that's part of being a psychic. And how do you draw this into your life work with love?
Okay. It's more connected than you might think. I talk to the dead only to help the living love better, which means a lot of the people who have crossed over have a lot of regrets, and mainly it's that they didn't love well enough. They didn't love their children well enough. They didn't love their wives or husbands. So I hear a lot of regret and remorse. And it's also our parents, our grandparents that taught dysfunction, and they'll come through to tell how their marriage was dysfunctional and how you're duplicating it because you've judged them, and you have to let go of the judgment of, you know, your dad who did something or your mother. So they try to show family patterns of behavior that you're duplicating. And in revealing that, people get like an aha moment. They don't realize that they really are reliving their parents' marriage or that they've done it 3 times already. And so the dead are just here to try to teach us to love better and to realize where the dysfunction may have come from. And, you know, I'll talk about it in terms of, like, the men having their cake and eat it, too, with cultures, the Latino, the Italian cultures, where the men notoriously cheated on women and got away with it. It's not that they really wanted to do that, but the Italians had a lot of arranged marriages. My grandparents had an arranged marriage. My grandmother was 16, my grandfather was 26. By the time she was 26, she told my grandfather, sleep with your putanas. I don't want any more babies. So go do what you got to do, but don't come here. So it wasn't the men wanted their cake and eat it too. And then when my dad married my mother and he just duplicated my grandfather's behavior, he had no idea why my grandfather had done that. And we just duplicate things without knowing why it started. So I try to, he hear from the dead, why did this pattern start? And why are you doing it? And how can we stop it? Somebody's got to stop dysfunction. And that's my job. My job is to try to get my clients to stop the family dysfunction, the communal dysfunction that we've learned in relationships. And the dead are really instrumental in helping me. You know, they're very honest. They're very, you know, they're flies on the wall. They'll tell me who's doing what to whom, when, and how. So they help me to tell, like, a woman if a man is cheating or, you know, that she is not seeing it and what she needs to do to see that. So I just think the dead are just the most helpful. They're like a fly on the wall. And it's important now in this day and age of electronics to have these people do it because people can cheat easier now. I mean, in the old days, people had one phone in the house. If you were doing something bad, everybody knew. But now with your own cell phones, your own laptops, your own computers, it is the dead who have to reveal things. And that's why they'll tell people, you better check up on this person. You better look at what's happening. So I just find the dead to be absolutely fascinating. I mean, they're just a riot to talk to. They're funny. They're on my side. They're always, like, trying to protect me, help me, make my job easier. So I've just found that it's a different kind of relationship guidance. It's showing you why you might be doing things that you're doing that you have no idea, you know, why you're even doing this stuff.
Wow.
It's fascinating, right?
It's fascinating, and it makes a lot of sense. Gosh, I was just thinking about my grandparents and what they might have to say.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're going to tell you why they did what they did or what their reasons were. And, of course, they were all brainwashed. You made your bed, lie in it, which is something that really has to end because good people don't make rules. You stay with me no matter what I do. Good people say, look, I'm really messed up. You run for the hills and save yourself. It's the bad people who said you stay with me no matter what I do. Good people don't say that. So I try to get my good clients to realize, you know, love yourself like you love your children. Would you tell your children to stay with a person like this, or would you tell them run for the hills? You would tell your kids leave, then you leave. So it's a different level of healing. Not, you know, I combined a lot of psychology with it, but it's just a little bit different. It's spiritual, and it's, you know, insightful, and people really change their lives pretty quickly, you know, after they get a reading or two. They suddenly see the patterns very clearly. The universe keeps revealing that to them. And that's why I just think, you know, I find it interesting. Every day I learn something new, by the way. Every day.
I am visiting with Cindy Sansone Pref, and the website is grantmeahigherlove.com. That's also the name of Cindy's best-selling book. And I will also be putting this up as a podcast at my blog, bonjourcolorado.com. Cindy, we're just about out of time. Do you have anything you'd like to add to wrap up this love theme, this Valentine's theme? Do you believe in Valentine's Day?
I believe it as a barometer to measure where your life is. If it's another year past and you're single, I mean, there's many reasons to celebrate being single on Valentine's Day. You're free to start a new love. You're not stuck somewhere bad. But if you're still alone, I'm saying, well, why aren't you doing something to change that? Think about next year. You don't want to stay alone. If you're in a relationship now and you have to buy a card and you're going, oh, God, there's no card that says you are really a rotten person, but I got to buy you a card. You know, do you want to buy that card? Is it another year you don't want to buy this person a card? Look at it as a barometer. Is your relationship good, bad, indifferent, or do you need to go find one? So it's just a measure. Are you in the same place you were last year, the same bad place? Are you in the same good place? So I just think it's a good barometer of where our relationships are at the time. So that's why I love it today.
Well, that's a terrific way to look at it and excellent parting words. Cindy, thank you so much for being a guest on Travel Fun.
You're welcome, and I can't wait to look at your blog site. I've been admiring it. It's a very interesting site.
And you'll have to come out to Telluride someday. And
you'll teach me to ski.
Exactly. Well, happy Valentine's Day to you and your love.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. Even
some exotic booze. There's a bar in far Bombay.
Come on, fly with me. We'll float down